Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Siberia, anyone? Chances are, at least in the dead of winter, there are few who would sign on. Siberia conjures an image of people dressed from head to toe in furs, looking more like someone in a deep freeze than ordinary folks who walk the streets of Manila, Houston, or elsewhere. In fact, Siberian winter temperatures hover around minus 30 to minus 50 below in Yakutsk, where one of my heroes has lived for many years. From the Russian city of Vladivostok, a 3-hour flight north and east takes you to Yakutsk, landing on the only airfield in the world built on permafrost, ground that stays frozen throughout the entire year. You can visit the Permafrost Museum here and see the tusks of mastodons, older than written history for sure. Snow in January can reach as deep as 5 feet. And believe it or not, the white stuff may even come floating to Earth in freak storms in August. When I visited this exotic place, I met Yuri Morakovitz, superintendent of the area missionary churches, and asked him, "Do you see the same interest in spiritual things today as was seen immediately following the collapse of communism?" "Yet," he responded, saying that the initial curiosity about the God who had been denied by the official policy of atheism for some 73 years has subsided. However, there is still a void in the lives of people that can only be satisfied by a relationship with God. Behind almost every Christian leader in Russia is a story of God's redeeming grace. Yuri, for example, was a hard-drinking, carousing truck driver whose mother never ceased to pray for him. When he roused from a drunken stupor, having collapsed on the floor thinking he was dying, he cried out to God to save him, and his mother's prayers were answered. Following 3 years at the former Donetsk Christian University in Kiev, Ukraine, he headed to Vladivostok, where the Russian submarine fleet had been headquartered. With $50 in his pocket and a sack of potatoes that he had brought with him. Now, decades later, he has given birth to an unknown number of registered churches and Bible study groups which he trusts will grow into churches. Another hero of mine is a school teacher turned pastor, who, having seen a Bible for the first time in his life in a market, borrowed the book, took it home, and read it all night. Returning the Bible the next morning, he asked where he could learn more about this book and this God who sent his son to show us life. He quit his job as a schoolteacher, took his wife and 3 kids, and rode across Russia on a train for 7 days and nights to a Christian school Guidelines has been involved in. 3 years later, having graduated with a certificate in Bible, he went back to his former village and planted a church. I think, too, of the former dentist who gave up a flourishing practice and a comfortable life to take a postgraduate degree in Bible, then bring his family from Ukraine to Siberia to spend the next 17 years in this punishing climate helping plant a church, and gave birth to a Bible school and seminary training pastors and Christian leaders. Wang Mingdao, a Chinese pastor who was imprisoned with the communists for 22 years, used to say that the hard path is usually the path God would have us walk. Most of the Russian pastors that I know believe that. They are as tough as the winters that freeze Siberia. They've been there. They just don't know that things can happen. And with God's help, they help make them happen. God give us more men who are so tough they never, never quit.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.